Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on our second lesson today from Hebrews chapter 13. If you would like to follow along with the written notes during the sermon, you'll find those written notes in the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. As we look at our second lesson this morning, at first glance, Hebrews chapter 13 seems to be nothing more than miscellany. It kind of reminds me of the days when people wrote letters. You remember handwritten letters, right? Remember how you'd get to the end of a letter many times and then you'd think of something else that you meant to include in the letter, and so you would put P.S. for postscript, and then you would write something additional, sometimes maybe several additional things that you had forgotten to put into the body of the letter. That's kind of, to me, what Hebrews chapter 13 seems like. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember those who are in prison. Honor your spouse. Be content with what God has given you to live on. Do not be led astray by strange teachings. All of those are good things, to be sure, but they seem to be unrelated. But in the wider context of the book of Hebrews, they really are related. In the earlier chapters of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews goes to great lengths to point to Jesus as our great high priest who has sacrificed himself for us, for our sins. And then he writes in Hebrews chapter 12, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us," looking to Jesus. The race that is set before us is a life of discipleship, a life of following Jesus. In these last several chapters of the book of Hebrews, the author is describing what that race that is set before us looks like. It is a race that is not so much at all like a sprint, but much more like a marathon. It is long and requires endurance and focus and discipline. In short, these last chapters of Hebrews provide us with a picture of that race of our lives. Because of what Jesus has done for us, sacrificing himself on the cross for us, our response is to offer sacrifices to God, to worship him. The author of Hebrews writes in verses 15 and 16, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not acknowledge to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 12, where he writes, "In view of God's mercies, in light of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, offer your bodies, your very lives, as living sacrifices to God." And then he calls that our act of worship. In other words, both the author of Hebrews and Paul describe our response of worship for what God has done for us, not just in terms of formal worship, gathering as God's people to sing and speak his praises. They also describe worship as a lifestyle, as the way we live. That raises an interesting question. As followers of Jesus, do we really think that how we live is worship. That what we do Sunday afternoon and then Monday through Saturday is or can be just as much a worship response to God as it is when we gather here in worship and worship God in a more formal way. That worshiping God is not something we do sort of separately off to the side in our lives, but that worship of God is at the heart and center of our life as a follower of Jesus. That we, as followers of Jesus, as baptized children of God, literally worship God 24/7, formally in a structured worship setting, but also daily, moment by moment, as we live our lives. That's a really different thought from the way we sometimes think. But consider the opportunities. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 from that perspective, as suggestive of opportunities to worship God by showing hospitality to others, to worship God by caring for people that are in prison, to worship God by the way we love and honor our spouse, to worship God by living contentedly with what God has given to us, to use our lives as a life of worship, to do good and to show God's love to those around us. The opportunities to live a life of worship are literally endless. So let me ask you this morning, what is your action plan? How will you more and more live a life of worship? And if showing hospitality or caring for people in prison are not things with which you especially resonate, let me suggest a few other possibilities. For example, how will the way you drive and treat other drivers be an opportunity for you to live worshipfully in response to God's love for you? Or the way you reach out in love to your neighbors? Or how you take care of God's earth and recycle to praise God for His gift of creation? What's your action plan? How will you live more worshipfully the 167 hours a week when you are not here in God's house to praise Him and worship Him in this formal setting? In a little bit, I'm going to be quiet for a short period of time. But I want you to think about one thing, one way, not two or three, one way that you could be more worshipful in your daily walk with the Lord. One way that you could begin to implement that into your life as you respond to Jesus' love for you when you are not here in God's house worshiping Him. All right, I'm going to be quiet now for a little bit and give you a chance to think about that one way. Well, hopefully you had a chance to think of one thing. And of course, you know that the easy part is to think about it, right? The hard part is to put it into action. To develop a plan, to set a goal, and then to seek to make that a part of your worship life. A life of worship and thanks and praise for what God has done for you. To think about how that part of your life can blossom into a rich worship response for God's love already given to you. Thank you. The author of Hebrews reminds us that in a world of change, the constant is Jesus. He writes, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Yes, Jesus Christ is always the same constant love for you and for me. Jesus Christ is always the same. His gift of forgiveness is freely given to us for the times when we mess up. Jesus Christ is the same, as his promise is true that he is with us always in the good times and in the bad. Jesus Christ is the same as he gives us the same certain hope that when we die, we will live with him forever. May God bless you and me as we respond to his sacrifice for us by living a life of worship. That's our labor of love. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.